Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're pulling back the curtain on a pretty specific world, the boomer marketing and business development circle. And we're looking at how it works, specifically within accounting firms.
Right. And we've gone through quite a bit of material for this one. General info on the group, but also like the real nitty-gritty from one of their meeting agendas.
Yeah, that agenda gives a great window, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
Shows what these top leaders are actually talking about when they get together.
So our mission today is basically to cut through all that detail and give you, the listener, a clear sense of what the circle
Who
is,
gets forward, yeah.
exactly who's in it, what problems they're trying to solve, and what actually goes down in these meetings. Think of it as your shortcut guide.
Okay, let's dive in then. So, at its core, the Booner Marketing and BD Circle, it's a peer group,
My
but a very specific one. The sources make it clear. It's for marketing and business development leaders, and specifically in the accounting profession.
And not just any leaders, right? The material mentioned top leaders.
Yeah, emphasizes top leaders, mostly from the larger firms, it seems. So these are the folks really steering the ship when it comes to growth strategy.
Not just like carrying out orders, they're setting direction. That sounds like a unique pressure cooker.
Absolutely. And the purpose, according to what we read, is really to help these members become well-connected leaders, strategic leaders who aren't just, reacting to firm strategy.
But actually driving it, getting that seat at the table.
Exactly. That phrase came up, seat at the table.
And in a place like an accounting firm, that's huge, isn't it? It means your marketing and growth insights are valued right alongside the technical or operational side.
Precisely. It's about having real strategic influence. And it's not just a casual get-together either. The sources mention professional facilitators are involved.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, people like John Hubbard, he's a shareholder and chief growth officer, and Heather Robinson, who's a facilitator and marketing manager. They provide structure, guidance.
Makes sense. Keeps things focused, especially with high-level people. You need that direction.
Ensures the discussions lead somewhere tangible.
Okay, so why? Why would a busy leader in accounting BD need this? What's the core problem they're trying to solve by joining?
Well, the big thing seems to be confidence. It's just really hard for them to feel sure they're making the right calls.
Especially now, things change so fast.
Exactly. The profession's evolving like crazy. You've got new tech, client expectations shifting, talent issues. Knowing which growth ideas to push, how to make them work, and then proving they did work. It's tough.
And probably pretty lonely at the top, too. I mean, who else in their firm really gets the specific pressures of that BD leadership
Oh,
role?
that's a huge part of it, yeah. The isolation factor. The sources really highlight that a major benefit is just being around other growth-focused peers who understand.
People who face the same high-stakes stuff.
Right. So you can tap into this trusted network, this sort of collective brain trust to figure out opportunities, navigate the headaches. It's finding that community.
Yeah, clarity, connection. Those sound invaluable when you're responsible for growth. And the sources also listed specific things the circle helps members avoid, didn't they? Like pitfalls.
They did. And they're pretty critical ones. Things like making the wrong strategy calls costly mistakes, struggling to get new service lines off the ground effectively, creating marketing content that, looks nice, but just doesn't bring in leads.
Investing in tech tools that don't talk to each other or deliver, seen that before.
Oh, yeah. And the big one, struggling to actually prove the ROI on marketing spend. Plus, operating without the right team structure or without that internal buy-in you need.
Those are absolutely the classic nightmares for BD leaders, especially in professional services. So avoiding those seems like a massive value proposition. It's risk reduction, really.
Definitely. It really paints a picture of the practical, high-level challenges they're tackling together.
So let's get concrete. We saw that agenda from their spring 2025 meeting in Kansas City. What actually happens? How's it structured?
Yeah, that agenda was useful. It shows a clear structure.
Come on.
It kicks off with welcomes and intros, obviously. But then there's this focus on a positive mindset.
A positive mindset. Interesting for a business meeting. A bit unusual.
It seems so, but they call it a foundational element. It involves people actually documenting positive things, professional, personal. And it connects to something else they mentioned.
The take it back tool.
That's the one, the take it back tool. The sources described it as like a formal process. Members capture what they learned and then plan exactly how they'll implement it back at their firm.
Ah, so it builds in accountability right away.
Exactly. And the agenda shows they actually share these plans in small groups later. Really reinforces it.
Smart. Makes the learning stickier.
definitely turns talk into action.
Yeah.
So after setting that positive, action-oriented frame, they dive into the meat, specific topics.
Like trends, 2025 trends. Gotta stay ahead, right?
Yep. Understanding the landscape. Then a really practical session, increasing online leads.
Okay, now we're talking tactics. Getting leads online is crucial. The agenda mentioned things like forms, gated content, digital ads.
Right. But the focus wasn't just what tactics, but how to make them work, driving quantity and quality of leads and tailoring it for different industries, which is key in accounting.
Mm-hmm.
They use case studies, aim for actionable stuff, talk about optimizing, analyzing data.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is measurable results.
Which ties right back to avoiding that struggling to prove ROI problem. This sounds like it gives them ammo to take back.
That seems to be the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Another big piece is the marketing and BD circle exchange. This sounds like pure peer sharing.
How so?
Firms actually present projects they've done, what worked, what bombed, best practices learned.
Oh, wow. So not just theory, but real world results being dissected. That's gold.
Yeah. Grounds the whole thing in reality. Sparks real discussion. And connected to that is the Ask Your Peers session.
Let me guess, members bring their own burning questions.
Exactly. Topics submitted and voted on by the participants themselves. So it addresses whatever's most pressing for them right now.
Tackles what's keeping them up at night. Makes sense.
Yeah.
What about that cross-selling and upselling session? Always a tricky one in firms.
Oh, yeah. Huge challenge. The agenda notes point to discussions on building trust, getting partners to collaborate, breaking down those internal silos, fostering teamwork across different parts of the firm, tracking success. It's really about driving that cultural shift you need to grow by serving existing clients better.
That sounds like it goes way beyond just sales techniques. It's hitting the organizational barriers.
Totally. It's strategic stuff, not just tactics. Then they wrap with future planning, key takeaways, ideas for future topics, maybe webinars.
And that final sharing of the take it back plans in small groups.
Right. Locking in the commitment to act on what they learned.
That whole structure feels very deliberate. Focused on action and ongoing improvement through the network.
It really does seem built around accountability.
So if someone listening is thinking, okay, this sounds like exactly what I need, how do they get in? What's the process?
The sources laid out a pretty clear three-step path. First, you fill out a membership application.
Standard enough, then?
Step two is a conversation. They review the application, then connect with you. And it sounds like it's really about finding a good mutual fit.
Making sure it's right for both sides.
Yeah. Are you facing the kinds of challenges the group tackles? Are you ready to chip in and share? Not just take. It ensures the group stays effective, you know.
Curated, in a way.
Exactly. And then step three, if it's a go, is attending the next meeting and becoming part of the group.
Mm.
They also mentioned something called a readiness assessment, which might feed into that fit conversation.
Okay. And what about sponsors? The sources mentioned them too.
Yeah, they did. And they framed them specifically as strategic partners, not just vendors selling stuff.
Ah, interesting distinction.
Right. They support members with expertise, solutions, tools, resources. They're seen as contributing to the mission, committed to the profession, not just there for a transaction.
So they add another layer of value, another resource pool for the members.
Correct. Part of the overall support system.
Okay, let's bring this back home. Why should you, our listener, care about this deep dive into a specific group for accounting marketers, even if that's not your exact field?
Well, because the core struggles these leaders are dealing with, they're pretty universal, aren't they?
How so?
Driving growth when the market's changing fast, proving the value of what you do, breaking down internal walls, getting the right team, making smart investments, gaining real strategic influence.
Yeah, those sound familiar across a lot of industries, especially professional services.
Exactly. It's like getting a peek into the advanced playbook, seeing how people at the top are tackling these fundamental growth and strategy problems.
You see what's on their agenda, how they learn from each other, the specific things they focus on.
Right. And you get insights into what's considered critical at that level. Maybe it's their approach to online leads or how they think about cross-selling or the focus on internal collaboration. You can take those lessons and think about how they might apply in your own world.
It really does highlight something key from the sources, though this intense value placed on connecting with peers who are in almost the exact same specialized boat.
It really does. And it leaves you with a question to think about, doesn't it? For your own career, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
How vital is that kind of dedicated peer network when you're trying to drive big changes in a really demanding environment?
Does having that trusted community, that specific space to hash out shared problems and build that collective confidence, does that make the real difference between just surviving and actually thriving at that strategic level?
It's certainly something worth mulling over. How important is that tribe?